This is Smart Tech, episode 1310, Smart Geotagging, or where the heck did I take that picture? Welcome to Smart Tech. I'm your host, Chuck Minear, and I want to welcome you to this fun-filled episode. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not a very organized person. I kind of think in big pictures. I'm a little ADD. I'll jump around from project to project, never really finishing anything, always doing something. I love photographing things. I like capturing the moments in my life, probably mostly because I figured as I got to know myself, I realized I didn't really remember anything in my life. When people would ask me details, one event would kind of merge into another event, and I can never quite remember. I knew I had done a lot of cool things, but could I, you know, really pull them out individually and relate to them? My mind was kind of the hodgepodge that my desk ends up being in my car and every other part of my life. And so I would get these books on, you know, organization, and I would read them, and I'd say, well, this makes sense. If I was an organized person, then I could do this. I think I've come to believe that there's just a way that different people's brains are wired. You know, there's the different personality types. And my personality type does not naturally go toward the organized area. There are some people, you know, that you go into their closets and all of their clothes are hung a certain way by size, by color, by year. I never, like, for example, I never understood those people who, you know, would put their winter clothes away. You know, I would just be efficiently looking through all of my clothes to find something. I mean, I never really had a system, and that's been my most of my life, trying to find a system for something. And that's part of what has helped fuel the shows for Smart Tech is, how do I find a system for technology? How do I use it to make my life better? So back to my photography. I would take pictures since eighth grade. In fact, I have boxes and boxes and boxes of negatives and slides. I had my own dark room. I would develop my own pictures. I would, then I got into slides, and I would, especially when I started to travel a lot, I would take a lot of slides. And I have boxes and boxes and boxes of these things, and most of them are labeled in some fashion or another, but very loosely. And that was the worst part, is I would enjoy taking the pictures, but then when I was done with the pictures, I didn't really enjoy processing them, labeling them, organizing them. Never really got into that. And when digital photography came along, it got even worse, because you know, you can pretty much just hold your finger down on the button and just ching, 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 you can just shoot off pictures, especially when you get a higher end camera. I mean, I could shoot hundreds and hundreds of pictures. Whereas before, I would shoot a lot of pictures, but I would try to be a little bit conservative because I was paying for each of these to be developed. Well, with digital photography, you know, pretty much they're free once you bought the camera. So I have all these pictures. And one of the worst things is going back and looking at my pictures and going, where did I take that? Why was I there? What exactly was that place? Where was that place? And when I discovered GPS and GPS tagging, it changed my world for organizing my photographs. A lot like Evernote changed my world for going paperless and dealing with my paper and my business organization. Geotagging has changed that for my photographic organization. So I want to share that with you because I think it's pretty exciting. It's really neat what you can do. So what exactly is geotagging and why is this so special? Well, if I take my camera and I go out and I'm talking digital camera, I take my digital camera out and I shoot a picture somewhere. There's information that's electronically embedded in the picture. Not only is the picture itself electronic information, it's just ones and zeros, but the camera also records the settings that the camera is set at the f-stop, the aperture. It records the time of day. It'll record the time zone that you're in. And there's a lot of information. I can also put copyright information and other information on there. It records the type of camera I have. So what geotagging is adding to that information, my location. Where am I? Latitude and longitude. Where am I on the planet? What time is it? What date is it? You can even record your altitude in that information. Now, there are cameras that are set up to do that already. For example, I own a Nikon Coolpix, an AW100. And this camera I bought because it's waterproof and shockproof. So I could take this, you know, as long as I wasn't diving really deeply, I could take this underwater and shoot video or pictures. But it also has a built-in GPS in the camera. So if I turn that on, it'll actually record my latitude and longitude on the photograph when I take the picture. And, you know, that pretty much solves that problem. If that's all I want to know, then get a camera that has GPS. If you take a photograph with your smartphone for your iPhone or your Android, it'll also record your latitude and longitude, and you'll know exactly where you took that photo if you want to. So that's pretty neat. But I use a camera that's semi-pro. I use a Nikon D300, and I also have a D7000. And those are in the old 35mm format, but they're digital, interchangeable lenses. And I want to be able to record where I am. Now, there is an accessory you can get. You can put it on the hot shoe of the camera and plug it into the front of the camera. It's a little cumbersome, actually. It's kind of big. And I'm sure that really, really soon, GPS location technology will be built into these cameras. But for now, you can get this little external unit. You can put it onto your camera, and it'll record that information right onto the file. But I like more than that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to two trips that I took. One was with my wife. We went on Route 66. We drove it kind of backwards. We went from Los Angeles, Santa Monica, all the way to downtown Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, if you click on that link in the show notes, smarttech.tv, find the show notes, you'll see that not only are there photographs there and little pins on the screen that show you where those photographs were taken, but you'll also see a red line on the screen. And that red line is actually our track, the track that the car took, the road. They call it a track in GPS terms, but basically the roads that we took. And you can zoom in on that map and you can see exactly where we were on the planet at that particular moment in time. Now, I really like that because I'm not a good diary writer, and obviously, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm a good diary writer. I'm not a consistent diary writer. When I write well, but I don't write consistently. So what I really like about the tracks is I can look up that Route 66 trip and I can see exactly where I was. And that helps me remember what happened on that day. Now, I also, on that webpage that you'll link to, you'll see I wrote a little paragraph about each of the days, what we did in general. But what's nice is that I've got a track and I've got something to attach to photos. So what I'm trying to say to you is the way I like to do it is to record the whole day. There's little devices that you can buy and they're called loggers, GPS loggers. And basically it's a little unit that you can just slip into your pocket. I've got two of them. There's a company called QStars with a Z at the end, and I have the BT-Q1300. And it is the size of a small, remember those old small matchboxes, but it's thinner, and it's got a keychain end on it. And basically the idea of this unit, it's very small. You could put your keys on it, hit the button in the morning, turn it on, and for about 10 hours, it will record every few seconds where you are on the planet. So it records the time and your location using GPS satellite information and just records it as a text file. And at the end of the day, what you do is you take this unit, which has Bluetooth built in. So you just take it and you connect it via Bluetooth or USB if you want to plug it in to your computer. And you download that text file. And that little text file goes on your computer. Now, you can take that text file and you can use it for several things. One thing you can use it for is to map where you were. So you can load that into Google Maps. You can load it into other mapping software, and you can see exactly where you were at what time of the day. Some of the software, you can just run the mouse over the line that's on the screen, and you can actually see times and locations just pop up on the screen. It's pretty neat. But the other thing that you can do with this, this track that you've created of where you were, you can take your photographs, and if your camera is set to the correct time, and that's the key, you want to make sure your camera is set to the correct time, you can merge using other software. You can actually merge that text file with your photographs, and it will tag your photograph with a specific geographic location, the latitude and longitude. So basically what happens, if you took a photograph at 10 a.m. in the morning, this software will look at the track information, find out exactly where you were at that particular time at 10 in the morning, exactly. It'll look at that latitude and longitude, and it'll take that from your track file, and it'll write it to your photo file. And now permanently, your photo has a latitude and longitude on it, and it does it very easily. And there are different programs that'll do this. There's a lot of things out there. When I started doing this, it was really difficult to get everything to merge together, but it's not so hard now. If you're a Mac user, I use a program called Huda Geo. And Huda Geo, just when you open it up, you point to the folder that all your pictures are in. You point to the file that's your track file, and you tell it to merge, and it puts them together for you automatically. And then you can load it into a viewing program. Every Mac comes with iPhoto, or you can use Aperture. When you load those photos into those programs and you click on the little map, you'll see, you click on the photo, then you click on the little map, and you will see a map where that photo was taken. And now you can sort your photos. You can say, hey, I want to see all the photos I took in Alaska, or I want to see all the photos that I've taken in New York City, or I want to see all the photos that I took in London, or in Europe. You can do a search by area, and it's wonderful, especially if you travel. Let's say that you go to a certain lake every year with your family. You can say, I want to see all the photos at that particular lake area. And it'll give you photos multiple years. It's really, really neat. Now, I said I had two of these loggers, and the reason is because you cannot take the Q-Stars. I found out. You cannot take the Q-Stars into a jacuzzi with you. It just doesn't work. It doesn't like the chlorine or the heat or the wet. And so this unit pretty much fried, although I've taken it all over the place and I used it for years and years. So, and the battery was starting to be really short-lived on it anyway. So I decided that I wanted to replace it, but the Q-Stars unit is $100, around $100, and you can buy them anywhere from about 80 to 80 up. But this one, because it's so small, is about $100. There are several companies that make these. There's another company called GlobalSat or GSAT, and they make a unit called, I don't know if they're still making it, the BT-335. This unit has an interchangeable battery, which I like. It's about three times bigger. It's not much bigger in size, but it's about three times thicker than the Q-Stars unit, but still really easy to put in your pocket, or you could put it in your camera bag if you're carrying your camera bag around. And it does the same thing. It'll just log all day, and then it has Bluetooth, and it'll send it to your camera, and it'll just send it to your computer as a track. And once again, I really like these because it keeps track of where you went, not just the photos you took. It's a separate unit. The Q-Stars and this unit seem to last all day. I got about 10 hours when the Q-Stars was new. I might get about 10 hours of life on it. The BT-335, I'm not really sure. I haven't used it for long periods of time, but I would think I would get mostly the same amount of time out of it. It's got a larger battery in it. So the workflow is set your camera to the proper time, set your turn on your logger, and put it in your pocket. Go through the day, take all of your photos, download onto your laptop or your desktop your text file from the log file, and download all of your pictures. Then load them into some type of a program that will merge the two. And like I said, the one I use is called Huda Geo. You can use other ones on other platforms, and just go on to the internet and start looking for photo tagging, geotagging software. There's a lot of them out there. You can also use Lightroom on the Mac or the PC and do the same thing. I really like to use a separate program outside of my cataloging program. My cataloging program being, you know, Aperture or Lightroom or one of those kind of programs, just so that the file has that information embedded already when it gets imported. That's the way I like to do it. Now, the main reason that I didn't go for another QStars unit, besides the fact that it was $100, was because you can now get apps for your phone, Android, Windows, iPhone, that will do the same thing. They will record a track for you while you travel. Now, the problem with doing this on your phone is it sucks your battery life. You're basically, even though the phone screen's off, the phone is constantly grabbing a GPS coordinate and saving that. And you want it to save pretty often. If you have it save, you know, every 30 seconds or every minute or every 5 minutes, the locations will jump, especially if you're in a car. If you're in a car driving 60 miles an hour, a 30 second difference is a half a mile. And so you're going to be jumping in half mile increments. And if you're shooting pictures out of the car or something like that, you may not be really close to where you took the photo. I mean, you know, close is relative, but you may not be right on the same exact spot. So you want something that's going to take a reading fairly often. And the individual units where all they're doing is writing a track for you, they can go all day and just do that. But with your phone's running a whole bunch of other things and it'll suck up your battery. So you have a couple choices. One is with your phone, if you're going to just use it for a short period of time, let's say I'm taking a 20-minute hike and I just want to track that hike, the phone works really well for that and it doesn't use up too much battery. But on a trip, I want the phone to be on 10 hours. I want it all day. And the phone just won't last that long when you're actively using it. So instead of spending your money on a separate $100 unit, you might decide to spend it on a battery pack. On an iPhone 5, I can spend $80 to $100, get a case with the battery built in, and that'll really keep the phone lasting longer so that I can, you know, do a track on it. If any of you have used any of the Map My whatever programs, Map My Hike, Map My Fitness, Map My Walk, those programs on the iPhone or the Android phone make a track of exactly where you were. They tell you what your speed was and how much elevation. Some people have watches that do things like that. That's the same thing as a logger. It's keeping a log. But there are some that are made just for photos. There's a program that I really like. It's a new to me anyway, called GPS4CAM, GPS, the number 4, C-A-M. And that program lets you do a track. It lets you choose how often you want to record. So you can say, oh, I want to do it every 5 minutes. Let's say you're hiking up a mountain and you're going really slow. Well, capturing every 5 minutes might be fine for that, and it's going to save your battery. But you can also do it precisely, and another button lets you capture every 30 seconds. And then you can change those settings. But what's really interesting about this is when you're done with the track, it throws up on the screen a QR code. And a QR code is one of those codes that, you know, those square barcodes that you can take your smartphone up and you can read it and it'll take you to a web page or give you information about something or whatever. So this QR code comes up on your phone screen and they tell you to photograph with your digital camera. Take a picture as your last picture, take a picture of that QR code off your phone. Now, what's interesting about this and all of the other solutions I've talked about, it's imperative that you set your camera to the proper time zone, the proper time, and that you're syncing with that time. And there are ways that you can look, you know, let's say I'm 5 minutes off with my camera. I can go into those pieces of software that merge the two together. And I can say, oh, I'm 5 minutes off, adjust everything by 5 minutes. But this program is really smart. What happens is it built into that QR code is the time that the QR code was taken, right? And when you take the picture on the camera, embedded in the file that you took is the time that's on the camera. So what you do is you run a little piece of software that comes with the app. I bought the pro version, which gives you more choices. It was $3.99. And this little program that you run on your computer merges the two together, puts the timestamp on. But what it does is it adjusts the track to the camera because it knows what time is on the camera because that is in the file information. And it knows what time the phone was at that particular time because it's embedded in the QR code. And so it compares those automatically. It makes any adjustments it needs to make. And when it merges the two, it automatically corrects any differences between your camera time and your track time. So pretty neat idea. Now, the last thing I wanted to share with you is being able to do something with all of this. Where do I post this? And on the internet, there's all kinds of picture sharing places. You can put your pictures on Facebook. You can put your locations on Facebook. And I'll be doing a podcast in the future on different photo sharing options. But the one I want to talk about and recommend with this whole system is the one that I linked to from the show notes. And I talked earlier about the Route 66 trip. I will also have an Israel trip on there. So you'll be able to see me trek with a group through Israel and where we were on that day, where on a map, here's where we went and here's where the photos were taken. The program that I'm using to host all of these is called EveryTrail, and it's Mac, PC, Android, and iPhone. Works on all the platforms. What EveryTrail lets me do is upload the track. The track goes on the website, upload the photos. It gives me a slideshow over the map so I could, with a little pin, and every time it changes a photo, it moves the pin on the screen so I can see exactly where it was taken. And it lets me write a paragraph or two or even longer about the trip. So it's a place that I can make a photo album, basically, but a photo album that's typed into travel. And what EveryTrail was meant for originally and still is for people hiking, I think, hiking and biking. So let's say that you're biking somewhere and every once in a while you stop and take a picture and it'll attach those pictures to your trip. But the main purpose of that is your trip and talking about this trail that you went on, this trip that you went on. Well, as a photographer, my main reason for going is pictures. And I've never run into a limit. I mean, I've uploaded, when you see the Route 66 trip, you'll see that there are hundreds of pictures up there. That all are attached to this trip. And the other thing I like about it, it's free. So I can set up a trip. I can use the EveryTrail app on my phone to track those. But what I would rather do is, because it's tied with photos, is use the GPS 4 Cam Pro program to create my track so that it merges my pictures. So that when I upload them to EveryTrail, they're all synced together. So geotagging's been great because I can go back in time now and I can look at where I was, what time it was, and what photos I took at those places. And it's easy to remember. I also like the fact that I can, you know, bring it up, for example, EveryTrail on my iPad. I can use AirPlay, show it up on my TV. I can do a slideshow with a map, and I can look at them big or smaller, however I want to look at them. I can also share my trips with my friends that way, and I can share my trips with other EveryTrail users. People favor my trips, and they might want to go on the same trip. So they can actually download the track from EveryTrail into their device, and they can re-step or retrace my steps on my trek. So that's pretty exciting. I really like the fact that I can tie my photographs to times and places easily. So let's wrap up what we talked about today. Geotagging is basically taking your location information and attaching it to your digital photo. You can create a file that's got a geotag in several different ways. You can use a camera or a smartphone that's got GPS built in, and it'll just write that information to it. Or you can use another device to record where you were at different times of the day, making a GPS track, and then take that GPS track, merge it with your photos, and tag your photos in that way. That's the way I prefer to do it, because when you're done, you also come out with a track of exactly where you went. Especially on a car trip, it's great. You can see exactly where you went on the car trip, how long it took you to get to the different points on your car trip, and gives you a good idea of, you know, when your memory fails you, where you were and what you were doing at a particular time. Once you have those photos, you can do a lot with them. You can go to different web services and upload them, including Facebook, including Google. But the one that I'm recommending is EveryTrail. I really like EveryTrail. It's easy to use. You can edit your track if you need to. If you have a spurious picture somewhere, every once in a while, you know, it's all digital. So every once in a while, you have all your pictures in Yosemite, and for some reason, one picture is tagged as being in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I was never in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, but you know, the numbers were just wrong. There was a glitch. You can go into that one photo, you can adjust your track, and you can clean that, anything like that up. That doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you can fix it if you need to. And so when you're finished, you have a complete record of your trip, where you were and what you did. And I think even better is being able to go back after the fact. If you're like me and you're not very good at keeping a daily diary, but maybe when you're done with the trip, you want to go back and fill in some gaps, you can do that, because this track lets you know exactly where you were on those days and which photos go with which days and which places. It's really neat. So if you go to our website, smarttech.tv, you'll find links there to a couple of GPS trackers that I loggers that I recommend and I think are good. I'll link you to the Coolpix and Nikon Coolpix camera, which is a nice general overall camera. I'll also have a link there to a couple iPhone apps, and those apps are also available in the Android marketplace. And I will put links on there to the two EveryTrail trips that really utilized that track. And the Route 66 trip was really the first one that I used that tracking technology over the complete trip to really identify where I was and what I was doing. If you have any questions or comments, if you go on our website, smarttech.tv, there's a comment section. You can leave a comment, a question. Let's have a discussion about this. What software do you like? Do you have a logger? Do you just use your smartphone? What apps do you use for that? I mean, I discover these apps from my friends on the web who are using things, and I read about it and go, oh, look, that sounds interesting. I could try that out and see if that works for me. So go to our website, click on the comments, and leave a comment. We'd really appreciate it if you'd go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. By subscribing to the podcast through iTunes, and there's a link on our website that looks like a little blue circle with a note in the middle. That's the iTunes icon. You click on that and you subscribe. There's also another thing you can do on our website. You can sign up for our newsletter. Just put in your name and email address. We do not sell it. We will not spam you. I will just send out a newsletter every 2 weeks that tells you when the new show is out and what it's about. We're also on Facebook. If you go to Smart Tech TV on Facebook, we have a Facebook page that you can like. You'll get information there, and that's a good place to also have conversation. And if you go on our website, smarttech.tv, there's also a place there where you can like the episode on Facebook. And that's nice because it tells your friends you've listened to Smart Tech and maybe they want to also. Any kind of advertising out there helps us. We also want to thank you for using our affiliate links. They're on the web pages. They link to the things that we talk about. And we really appreciate you using those links to purchase any products that you purchase. They cost you absolutely no more. If, for example, you want to buy that Nikon Coolpix camera and you're going to buy it on Amazon and you click on that link from us, it costs you absolutely no more than just going there directly. But we get a finder's fee and that keeps us on the air. So we really appreciate your support and your help. So until next time, this is Chuck Minear at smarttech.tv. And I hope that this episode has made you a little bit smarter about tech.